Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune into Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning. Welcome to Tuesday September 16th. What am I reading here? Okay, there was an S and a P. I figured, what the hell? Super 16.
September 16th.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome to the show. I'm warm this morning, Charlotte. I don't know. This air conditioning has been giving us trouble. And
it's just been hot.
It's been so damn hot. You know, above 100 degrees, like, with no problem at all.
Yeah.
With total ease. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm like, what is this? It's like Vegas is cooler than this.
Seriously.
It really is these days.
I was in the valley at, I think we left about 8:45 last night, and it was 102.
Yeah, at night,
right? We just watched the thermometer go down and down and down and down as we drove. It was insane. As soon as we got out of the valley, it was already 91 or something. It dropped over 10 degrees.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
So I'm sure now you're happy you live near the beach and everything, right? Yeah. What a difference.
Yeah.
I know. This valley, man, it's like a furnace here. But what are you gonna do? You know, I mean, that's part of it. You know, we're having a drought. I don't see the drought ending anytime soon. Right. All we're getting is dryness and heat and and stuff like that.
More,
you know,
and more
so.
Heat,
yeah, I know. So who knows what's gonna happen. I mean, it's mid-September already, and you know, it's still like, I mean, even the summer wasn't this hot,
right? And I was in Phoenix this weekend, and it was just, I mean, it was unbelievably hot.
Yeah. Huh?
It was, I think it was 105, 106.
Yeah.
And it's just dry heat, so it's just miserable.
Right.
Well, I was miserable.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When it's, you know, when it's, let me just adjust this here. When you, when it's not dry heat, it's still bad, you know? I mean, you get all this humidity and stuff,
yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
And, you know, when I lived in Vegas, people say dry heat, dry blah, blah, blah. You know what? It's still hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I still sweat in that heat.
But even when I got out of the car last night in the valley, it felt the exact same. It was
really?
Just like you get out and it's just immediate heat.
Right.
It's like, boom.
It hits you.
It's like, oh.
I know.
It makes you so lethargic.
I know. Mm-hmm. I normally never sleep with the AC on, you know, but the past few days, I just had to.
Yeah.
So it feels nice in the house. You forget. You go, oh, today's a nice day when you get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You open up your window. You go, oh, my God, another one of those days. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it's crazy. And some people live in colder places. I mean, my daughter's up north. She said that the temperature was half. It was like 55 degrees or something.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Which is a lot cooler than this, you know.
The weather's just going insane.
It's nuts.
I mean, the hurricane that just hit Mexico and then...
I know.
It's really
going out of whack, this whole climate thing. So we'll see what's going to happen. It kind of scares me in a way, you know. But
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because you know what happens is that, you know, they're saying, in fact, yesterday I was a guest on the show here, and the host said that he had read that this was the hottest August on record this past August. In the world. So, you know, and the thing is, you know, they'll tell you, okay, so it was like a half a degree more than the previous record.
Mm-hmm.
But half a degree is a lot when you put it in this perspective of the entire planet.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
It makes it like a lot hotter. So, I don't know what the hell. But
I hope it's still somewhat hot in November because my mom's coming to visit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope for her sake it's still
I know.
Warm
Can you imagine she'll come here and it starts raining?
I know.
She'll go crazy.
Yeah.
She'll like, I just got away from this.
I would be so sad. Like, are you kidding me?
I know. I'm thinking of going in November to Israel to visit my parents. So maybe we'll just take some time off that time. You can spend some time with your mom, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll coordinate it so it'll be the same time. You know, so you can have some time with her. Are you going to go anywhere with her, like Hawaii or something? Or?
No. I don't think so. I think we'll go up to the... She's coming up at Thanksgiving, so we'll go up to the Bay Area for Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
It'll be a nice... I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Well, it's been 10 months.
It's hard to believe that Thanksgiving is coming up, huh?
I know.
I mean, wow.
I know. It's insane. It'll be Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year.
Before you know it.
2016, before we know it.
Yeah, and we'll still have 105 degrees here.
Yep.
Yeah, so you went to Phoenix this past weekend?
Yes.
What, to a wedding?
To a wedding, yeah.
To a wedding. How was the wedding?
It was really nice.
I hope they didn't hold it outdoors, did they?
Well, the ceremony was inside in a church, but the reception... cocktail hour reception was outside, and it was so hot.
Miserable, right?
And I got bitten by mosquitoes so badly.
Wow.
I have so many bites on my legs. It's driving me crazy, especially in the heat.
Yeah.
And I'm just like oh my gosh, it's the worst.
It makes you wonder how bugs even survive in this heat.
I agree.
But they do, right?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, why would... Yeah. I mean, they know what their weather's like. Why would they have it outside, you know?
It was hot. Yeah. It was very pretty, but it was hot.
Yeah.
My hair got tied up right away.
Really?
Yeah.
So, but it was in the evening at least, right?
Yeah.
The sun wasn't like blasting.
No, thankfully not.
Yeah.
It was right at sunset when we got outside. So it was a Catholic wedding. So the ceremony was... about an hour and a half long.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long ceremony.
Yeah.
Who's got the patience for that? You know?
It was a long ceremony.
Yeah. I know, it's like all religions, you know, even in Judaism, it takes a while, but that's a long time.
It's funny because the weekend before in Spokane, the ceremony was probably about 20-25 minutes. Tops.
That's more reasonable.
Tops, yeah.
What's there to say for an hour and a half, for crying out loud, you know?
It was all...
They have to know they're boring the people to death.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
Oh, a lot of action going on.
Stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. But it was a really... It was a beautiful church, and...
Yeah.
And I like weddings.
Yeah, it's cool. Huh? I know you've been going to a lot of them.
Yeah. A lot. It's wedding season, that's for sure.
Yeah. I know a lot of people get married in the summer, it seems.
Yeah, I guess so.
I wonder why. Maybe so they can go on a honeymoon or something. But then again, the honeymoon doesn't have to be where you live, you know? I mean, it can be winter where you are. Still go to Hawaii or something.
Yeah, and maybe to guarantee somewhat sun for the... I don't know.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess people just feel it's better during this the summer to get married and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed a lot of them do.
Yeah.
In fact, I did too. Mine was, my first marriage was July 5th or something.
Really?
Yeah. So that was the summer too.
Yes. Middle of summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what can you say?
But it was a nice weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
hot.
Definitely. In a few minutes, we have a special guest in the studio. We'll bring her in just a minute as soon as she finishes tweeting, because we can't interrupt our guests when they tweet. But that's good. Anything to promote the show is fine. It's just funny how people with their phones, you know. But I find that sometimes people, you know, like if I don't want to like talk to somebody on the elevator or something, I'll just pull out my phone, right?
Yes.
But and that's 100%. What we do. And the thing is that we've become such a society that avoids other people.
Yeah. You know? It's so true. Anywhere, on the bus, on the plane,
right,
on the elevator, like it's so easy just to look down
just
on
to
your
be
phone.
In your own world, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not cool at all. Yeah. Did you hear that? I just wanted to bring this up that remember we were talking about YouTube releasing a new album, announcing it for free, at least the song, during the Apple presentation of the iPhones. So apparently what happened is Apple was so kind that they downloaded this automatically to people with the iCloud.
Yep.
I didn't get it. I don't know if I did, but apparently many people did.
I did.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And some people are pissed, you know?
Well,
they're
it's
like,
kind of
I don't
an invasion.
Yeah, it is. I mean, ask me if I want the song first.
Yeah.
You know?
It's completely an invasion. I don't know if it's on... I assume it's on my iPad if it's on my phone.
Yeah.
But I saw a photo on Instagram that someone put that just said, check your music, like U2's album will be on your phone, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's stupid. Of course it's not.
Yeah.
It was.
Really?
I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
How is this
Maybe
on
if
my
I look
phone?
At my iTunes, I'll see
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't use iTunes, but wow.
But yeah, I couldn't believe that it was on my phone.
Yeah.
It was downloaded onto, I think it was every person's phone that has iCloud.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And my boyfriend loves you too and was so mad because he doesn't use iCloud. So he's like, no, I don't have it. I think I'm the only one that doesn't.
Does it let you transfer it from your computer? I guess, yeah, Apple makes it so you can't copy anything, you know.
Well, you have to, because you have to download it through iCloud. So right. I guess you have to be on Wi-Fi when you
right.
when you try and download it onto your phone. I don't
which
really
is,
get how that
which is
works.
Fine, but I mean, the thing is, once you have the song, can't you copy it to his phone, like to your computer, and then he can copy it to his phone?
Yeah.
But I don't think he can do that because
I think you could
iTunes, they
CD.
Personalize it to like one phone or something, you know.
You could probably put it on a CD and then...
Yeah, maybe.
Old school way.
That's true, if you can transfer it, yeah.
Yeah.
It depends how they downloaded it, you know, because sometimes they let you download songs that you can't play outside of the software itself, like outside of iTunes or something. Like Spotify, for example. I use Spotify, and even if you use it, sometimes it lets you use it offline, you know, because you always need a connection. But sometimes if you say, okay, I want this song to be able to hear it offline, it'll do that for you. But it's still not a physical MP3 that you can take. And give to someone else. So they figure it all out. Anyway, we don't care about the news today because we've got a great guest in the studio, and we'll welcome you to the show. Here, your mic is on. We have Andrea Nitoli, or Andrea Kelly, actually, also known as Andrea Nitoli, but not anymore.
No, known as a lot of things, probably, but we're not going to talk about that.
No, Andrea is a comedian. Are you still a comic?
No.
Not anymore.
No, I'm still funny, but but not on stage.
If you do say so yourself,
just in life,
right?
That's right.
Yeah.
If you don't say so yourself,
we'll
who
be
will?
The judge of that.
That's right. I don't care what anybody thinks. I amuse myself. I laugh the hardest at my own material.
Really? Well, that's good. Somebody has to.
That's right.
But the thing is, I mean, when you did comedy, you were pretty popular and funny, right?
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I had a good time. I had a good time. Oh, that's right. You did come to one show.
Yeah, I did come to one show at the Improv or something.
That's right.
I think it was.
That's right. Friends with Benefits.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So how long did you do comedy before you stopped?
5 years.
5 years?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's something like you picked up in, you know, after you had a career or something. Probably,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was an actor for a long time, and then I worked at the Laugh Factory, and then I, as one of my friends says, I watched a lot of comedy, and then I just thought one day, oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
So then I did. But it's a hard life. That's why
it
I kind of
huh?
got out of it. Well, because you do a lot of traveling. You're on the road constantly, and I don't like to travel that much.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, more of
after
a
while. Yeah, after a while, you just don't want to travel anymore.
No.
Huh?
I did it when I was like 15. Yeah, when I was 15, I was on the road with a band, and we traveled all across the United States back and forth. So I got that sort of out of my system.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember about the band. Was that like in your 20s or something?
When did
you
start? 15 was when I started.
Really?
Yeah, and
wow.
then we landed in Vegas, and I wasn't actually even old enough to be in the casinos in Vegas, but I was singing in the lounges. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
What did you sing?
Yeah,
you
I was a singer. Yeah, and
very
I played
cool.
a mean tambourine. That was my.
Really? Did you guys do like cover songs?
We did cover songs. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I know. Those are the best, you know. I mean, forget about coming with your own material.
Forget it. Who needs that?
Exactly.
No, I wasn't a good songwriter. Yeah. I mean, I wrote some lyrics, but I wasn't musical in the sense I didn't play an instrument, so I couldn't really write songs. My son's an incredible songwriter.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's also harder when you're an unknown to come out with new music, you know,
because
not only do you sell your performance, but also the song itself.
Right.
You know, whereas, you know, if you're a cover band, the song's already popular.
It's already great.
Have to sell
like,
yourself.
Yeah. I know you like this song.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sing this. Yeah. It's very true.
So, so you were not originally from LA, right?
No.
Where were you born?
Originally from New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think you still have a little accent from New Jersey?
I think I do a little bit.
I don't think so. No, I don't see it. I mean, maybe a little bit.
I used to be bad.
Yeah, you don't seem like a West Coast girl.
I'm not a West Coast girl. Yeah. I mean, I love it here. I'll never leave. Don't kick me out just because I'm not a West Coast girl. I love it.
Okay. We've got 4 million people. We can handle
that's
you.
That's right. What's one more?
Exactly.
No, I love it here. I always wanted to live in a sunny, no snow climate. I don't get anything out of the snow.
Right.
None
so you started the music in New Jersey, right? And is that when you started traveling with the band?
Yeah,
stuff?
I started really young in show business in general. Both my parents were in it, so I started really young as a kid in commercials and then singing and then
So you were born into entertainment pretty
born
much.
Born into
right?
it, yeah.
What did your parents do?
They were both singers, songwriters. My father's a songwriter and actors and all of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you saw it actually happening. It's not just a dream that you had and you thought, well, maybe I'm going to make it. And then your parents go, she's crazy. You know? She's
yeah.
never going to make it.
But yeah, I didn't get that. I had the opposite. When exactly. I would tell my dad, you know, I think I'm just going to get a regular job. He'd be like, how can you have a regular job? You don't have time for auditions. It was the complete opposite. Yeah.
Wow, that's unusual.
It's very unusual. They would get disappointed if I would think about quitting. They would be like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to get a lunch pail and go to work every day? What is that? They have no idea. Neither one of them ever had a real job.
Yeah, good. So, yeah, I can't see how you would be a 9-to-5 person. You know?
No, I've tried it. Yeah. I've tried it. I like stability, but I'm managing now, so I'm on the sort of on the other side of it.
Yeah. So, let's talk a little bit about what you do now, and then we'll keep going back. But I don't want to forget why you're here in the first place.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about what it is that you do now.
So now I'm a talent manager. I manage actors, and I also produce. I produced a film that is going to be shown in LA on the 25th called, it was called Last I Heard, and now it's called Once Upon a Time in Queens. Mm-hmm. So it's with Paul Sorvino, Michael Rapaport, Chaz Palminteri, Stephen Bauer,
wow.
Renee Props. Yeah. And
very cool.
I play Michael Rapaport's wife, so I do a little acting in it, but I did more behind the scenes, which I loved.
Yeah.
How was that doing, playing both sides? You weren't just the producer on the producing side, but you were actually in it too.
It was fun, but it was like wearing two hats. But my husband was also a producer on it too. So kind of when I was acting, he was taking over and then vice versa.
Oh, cool. So he's in entertainment too?
Yeah, now he works for Disney, so he's more behind the scenes in the tech world. But when I met him and he met me, we were both still acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is cool. So now you guys met, you had been married twice before, right?
Yes, twice before.
So this is your third marriage now.
Third time's a charm.
Third time's a charm. You seem to be pretty happy based on your post. You haven't been posting much on Facebook, though, but...
I'm busy.
But you see, yeah, I guess you are.
I'm busy.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I find time to be on Facebook.
Well, you've been married a long time, yeah?
No, I'm not anymore.
Not anymore?
No.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't long. Well, it depends how you look at it. My first marriage was about 7 years. The second one was 10 years.
That's long.
So I guess that's long, right?
That's long. You hang long. In there.
Yeah, I guess I do. I do. But then in the end, I can't.
Then you're like, you know what?
I can't run to the finish line.
Do you like being single?
I do. I love being single.
Yeah, you know? I liked it too when I was single. But then I got married and I like being married.
Yeah, and I guess, what, you get lonely after a while or something?
What's that thing Chris Rock says, you know, married and bored or lonely and single and lonely? Like, can't have everything.
Can't have everything, right?
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, I think it depends on, like, I don't know. It was fun being single, but then that got old too. You know?
I guess it does.
Yeah, it gets old. And also
because I think most people are paired up, you know. So the thing is that it's hard, you know, when you hang out with friends or whatever, you know, you see people together and you go, well, what's wrong with me type of a thing. But to me, it's like, at least now I don't look at it that way. I look at it as like, I'm lucky now. You know, I can be open to opportunities and stuff, you know. So that works well. And of course, I'm still enjoying the honeymoon of being single and stuff.
Right. It is. When you first become newly single, it's like, this is awesome.
Right.
And then after
it's been over a year, I'm still happy.
All right.
I'm good.
You were married for 10 years. That's a long time.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, plus the other 17 years of my life, that's enough, you know?
Yeah.
Produce two wonderful kids, that's all I need, you know?
That's the best part.
Yeah.
That's the best part. I think marriage is different, too, now than it was years ago, you know? I think people do it for different reasons, you know? And I don't think anybody, I used to say this when I did stand-up, I think no one would get married if divorce wasn't an option.
Really?
The majority of marriages, you go in, you go, we'll give it a shot, we'll see
how
it goes, you know what I mean?
That's so
but
interesting.
If not,
I've never thought about some.
Right, if I said to you, you can marry this guy, but you have to be with him the rest of your life, for sure, there's no such thing as divorce. I think most people would go, you know what, give me one more year.
I'll think twice.
Think about it. Yeah. Maybe we'll just live together, you know. But I think as you get older, too, you also feel like, you know, you don't necessarily want to be out there.
That's true, you know? It depends. Yeah, it really depends, you know, on what you want out of life.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think that people always gravitate to being couples, you know, being in a relationship and stuff. So
depends on the person, though, too.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a loner, I think not. Some people like to be alone.
That's true. I mean, there are people like in their 40s, 50s who still don't have kids. Or let's say, never mind kids, but have not been married.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I guess some people just choose not to, you know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. If someone just prefers to just have casual relationships or whatever, they cherish their freedom, you know, because, I mean, look, face it, you know, you're in a relationship, you're giving up a lot as well as gaining a lot, but you're giving up quite a bit, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, so now we were talking about before the show, you have three kids.
Three kids.
And the oldest one is 29?
29.
And he's getting married or he's married?
He got already? Married. He got married this year.
Really?
Yeah, to a great
exciting,
girl.
How exciting,
It was very exciting. Yeah. It was really cool. It was like when you have kids, and you can appreciate this because you have kids, it's like you have that moment where it's like you're seeing them get married and you're like, I remember you at 3 years old, the first day you went to, you know, preschool. It's like, it's crazy. You really have a moment where you're like, I'm old.
Yeah.
Here you are getting married, and I was around before you were around.
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
I know.
So it's cool. I mean, when they're doing well, it's awesome. Yeah. You know, it's, I think as they get older, it gets better and easier.
Yeah, I guess it does, right? And they sort of become less selfish, I think. They're able
to... I don't know about that.
No, I guess that
I'm
depends
waiting for
on
that
person,
part,
though.
Yeah. No, I think they do. I mean, I always said, you know, I just want to raise kids that I want to hang out with one day. And, I think I've done that because I really love hanging out with my two sons. They're great.
Yeah.
They're just great people. They're just, you know, as people, even if I wasn't their mom, I'd be like, you'd be a cool dude to hang out with.
Right, yeah.
My daughter's 17, so we're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, right?
Yeah. No, she's awesome, but it's just, I think girls, it's just, they're more difficult. Boys were just easier to raise.
I guess that's true, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really notice that, but now that you say it, I think it is true. But maybe, I guess it also depends if the girl is like firstborn and all that
stuff.
Right,
she's the baby. So.
Yeah, because the birth order has a lot to do with
absolutely.
It. Absolutely.
What are you in the birth order?
I'm the firstborn.
Oldest, me too.
Really?
I'm an only child.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you're the oldest and the youngest and the middle child. You have all three syndromes.
So we're all firstborn at the same time, yeah. No, but it's true. I mean, you know, I think there's a lot in this birth order deal that people talk about. And
I
stuff,
agree.
You know,
because usually the firstborn, we really are the leaders, and we'll like have a plan.
Right, and perfectionists, and people expect a lot from you, and things like that. You know,
yeah.
And it's very interesting. And then the youngest ones usually are the ones that slack off the most. You know, they become like the artists, and, you know, whatever.
Trying to figure
the
it
poor
out.
The poor artists. You know, they go to India and shit, try to find themselves. That's younger. Good kids,
that's true. That's very true.
It's the baby kids, That's funny. Do you have any siblings of your own?
I have a brother, a younger brother.
Younger brother?
Yeah, lives in New Jersey.
Are you guys in touch?
Yeah, we're in touch. I mean, he's, you know, he's got two small kids, so it's like, you know, not small.
So you're different points in your life.
Different points, I mean, I see him when I go out there. It's funny. We have a weird relationship, sort of like out of sight, out of mind. We see each other.
Right.
We're very close. We hang out. We have a great time. And then when I go back to New Jersey, I don't hear from him.
Right.
Until I come back.
I know. I have a lot of relationships like that, you know, where you don't really talk to the person until you see them again. It's like...
There's no time passed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so go figure, you know. I mean, some people are like... And also because I'm tired of like always being the... taking the initiative, you know. I mean, sometimes you just want your friend to call you without you calling first, you know.
But I think if you're the kind of person that always takes initiative, you're drawn to friends or they're drawn to you. You draw people to you that don't take the initiative.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's true.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
huh?
Because they don't need to be the person to do anything because they know Sam's got it. He'll figure
so
it
they
out.
Leave
He'll
it
make
to
the
you.
Reservation. Yeah, I have a lot of those people in my life.
Yeah, that's
or I
hard.
Did anyway.
Yeah.
Weed them out. Social cleansing.
Yeah, like Facebook, right?
Yep, just go through and
delete them.
Yeah, I deleted a whole bunch of people recently.
Really?
Just went through and go, why am I friends with you?
I know.
I hate your posts.
Yeah.
You gotta go.
I know, and that's the thing. I think early on in Facebook, everybody was like competing to have a lot of friends.
Oh,
you know?
I was.
And plus, you know, and you
it's
were...
like a game. It was like a video game.
It
I was
is.
Trying to hit high score.
I know.
I didn't realize you
also...
tapped out of 5,000, though.
Yeah.
I tapped out of 5,000. I had people going, I'm your cousin. I don't have room for you. I'm at 5,000. You can't, no.
I know, and you go, I don't even know a fraction of these people.
I didn't know any of them. I was just adding everybody. They were like, maybe you know, maybe I do know
exactly.
him. I don't know.
What the hell, another one closer to 5,000, right?
Every suggestion was a number, right? And then I tapped out, and then I had to get a new Facebook page.
I know. And that's the thing is that, and especially when you're a performer and stuff, you want to come across as you have a lot of fans and friends and things like that.
I think everybody does. I think even if you're not a performer, people will look at you now, because because it's a social media, right. you know, age. So people go, oh, you're on Twitter, and they click on and go, oh, she got 7 followers.
Right, yeah.
I don't really want to be friends with her. But if you look on and you go, 7K followers, I've got to be friends with this person.
I guess,
it's your value. It's your street cred now.
Yeah, I guess in many ways, you know, I mean, they find that out. But it's also very misleading because you can buy Twitter followers. You can buy Facebook friends.
You can buy real friends.
You can buy real friends, too, exactly.
You can buy anybody
you can buy
you want.
Anything you want.
Exactly. Just name your price, right?
That's it. Yeah. You can buy a wife when you're ready.
Exactly. You know, but but then I realized, you know, why am I friending all these people?
Right.
You know, if they come to me and they friend me and I look at them and we got a lot of friends in common, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. What the hell, you know? But at the same time, I'm ready to weed out a lot of them, you know, because I don't, like you said, you don't like their posts.
No.
You don't even know them.
Right.
You know, it's like, why do I need to listen to this, you know?
Right. You become more discerning.
Right.
I think after you realize, okay, I can get 5,000 people. Now I have you now.
Right.
It's a very it's a power trip, though, too. It's like, I give it and then I take it away. Became friends, and now you're not. Now you're not.
I know,
friend.
And it's like we think it's such a big deal, you know.
And it is a power trip because I have friends that are single, and they'll be in a relationship with somebody, and that's the first thing they call me, and they go, "Do you know he took me off his Facebook? Do you know we're no longer?" Like, that's a big deal.
It is, right?
Well, why would he want to see all the crazy shenanigans you're about to do?
That's true.
You know, men don't want to see. Like, I broke up with you. Even if they are the ones that broke up with you, I think that they don't want to see your Facebook. They don't want to be. They don't want to see you having a great time.
Either that, or they don't want to see you seeing what
they're doing.
You don't want them to see what you're doing,
right?
Yeah.
And then there's the friends that I think they do want somebody to see, because I always say I can always tell when one of my friends went through a breakup, because all of a sudden they're in the Bahamas, they're having a great time, life is wonderful. Every picture is like them with a margarita, going, things are great. You talk to them, they're miserable, but like the Facebook life looks like, wow.
I know that everybody looks like they have a great life on Facebook.
As if the guy's going to go, why did I break up with her? She's got a margarita. Look how fun she is.
Yeah, I know. I should have changed my mind, right?
Yeah.
When I could. Wow.
Right.
I know. That's funny. And then you see people. I was thinking about this morning. You see people in different relationships, you know, and they go, and every time they're like the happiest. You know?
Exactly.
Until they break up with a person and find a new one, you know?
You should just go down their timeline and go, remember Bob?
Exactly. Yeah,
what happened to him? What happened to him?
Yeah, you posted a million pictures of Bob.
Yeah, you're at Disneyland with Sam, but you were at Disneyland with Bob, too. It's true. That's why that timeline is bad.
Yeah,
you start dating somebody, you go through their timeline, you go, who was that?
Yeah.
He looked really happy with her.
I know. You see pictures from like 4 years ago, and you know these people don't look the same anymore, you know, but they
they don't even look
there.
The same now. Everybody's Facebook picture is the best. They probably the best day of their life. This
right.
is the best picture they've ever taken.
Right.
Because I'm friends with some people and I'm like, where did you take this picture?
Yeah, you don't look like
in
that.
In what
right?
world? With someone on a ladder shooting down at you because you look like you're 100 pounds and you're like, not 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I know. But you know what's amazing also on Facebook? You can sort of like, I mean, for the people that post a lot, you can sort of like create a profile in your mind of what that person's like. You know, like, for example, I noticed this one person, friend I have, she criticizes everything and everybody all the time. You know, she'll like post a video or something. It's like criticizing and judging. And it's like, you know, I don't want to listen to this anymore, you know? I mean, it's like, what, you walk on water and everybody else is terrible, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. Some people
I think I'm
just,
friends with that same person.
Yeah. Huh? Some people rant too much, you know? I don't care for all these rants. But so going back to you, so you manage or you represent your agent?
Yeah, no, not an agent,
a manager.
Talent manager. But I kind of do the
manager.
Same thing that an agent does. And we're
yeah,
we
so
have
you get work
roles.
For them as well. Wow. So how did you get into it, Andrea?
Well, when I was acting, I just kept thinking I wanted to get out of acting. So I would have like these mini breaks. I go, you know what? I'm done. This is ridiculous. It's not going anywhere. And then I would get jobs. And so I worked at CAA and I worked at different management companies. And then, you know, I wasn't done acting. So then I would quit the job and I'd go back to acting. So I sort of knew that down the line, this would be something that I would be good at. And then what happened actually was my manager and his partner split up. And I came to help my manager because I sort of knew about the business. And then he was like, let's just do this. Why don't you do this with me? So we did, and we did that for a year, and then I started my own company the beginning of this year.
Very cool.
So small yeah. amount of
but
of
you felt
clients.
Confident enough that you can do it yourself. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know both sides of it. You know, I know the casting right. side of it, and then I know the, you know, the acting side of it. I've been in the room as an actor, and now I'm on the phone pitching actors. But right. but it's interesting. I just started, I started a seminar, too, called, there's a workshop that I'm doing at Hit Your Mark Studios, where I actually help actors that I don't represent just sort of get the information, because there's this big disconnect between what goes on in the industry and I think the information actors have. Mm. And so they just don't know.
Right.
So I really want to help educate people so that they can have the career that they want to have and know how to talk to their agent or manager, because I get it all the time. I hear things yeah. either clients say to me or potential clients say to me, and I think you have just no clue about the business.
Yeah.
It's really not this art thing that people think that it is.
Right.
You know,
it's still a business, right?
It's a business.
Yeah,
it's a business.
You have to understand that.
And agents and managers work for free until you get a job.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think they keep that in mind.
That's
you know?
True, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, because usually it's like creative people. They don't know anything about business. They just want to act right. and they want to perform and things like that. So you're right. I mean, some people need guidance.
They
you know?
Need guidance.
That's awesome. So how can people go to that seminar?
Well, it's Hit Your Mark Studios is the name of the website. And I have I'm doing a seminar on September 27th, on Saturday, September 27th. September 27th from 2 to 5 at the Victory Theater in Burbank. Mm. So they can go on my Facebook page. They can go on, you know.
Okay, what's your Facebook page?
It's Andrea Kelly 1113. That's my Facebook.
Okay.
Login. And that's my Twitter and
yeah.
and Hit Your Mark Studios. They can just Google that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hit Your Mark Studios. Is that the name of your...
That's the name of... Not the name of my management company. That's the name of the studio.
Of the place where it's taking
right,
place. Right.
Right, exactly.
So what was the Victory
Victory Theater in Burbank is where it's going to be held. Where
right,
you can
okay.
actually go and see what I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So people should go there. It's September 27th,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's
week
on a
from
Saturday.
Saturday. Uh-huh.
So it's pretty cool of you to do.
Thanks.
So, but it gives you exposure also, right?
I mean, it gives me exposure, but I have a heart for actors that I don't want to say that other managers and agents don't, because some of them do, but I have a special, the actors have a special place in my heart because I've been there. I've been on the other side and I didn't understand a lot of times what, you know, how do you do this? How do you get an agent or a manager? Or how do you get your agent and manager to really work for you? Or, you know, how do you develop that relationship? Or how do you get into a casting office? Or what's the best acting classes to take? You know what I mean? Should I go to a four-year university? Should I study at a cold reading class or an on-camera class? There's just so much information. And I came here from New Jersey knowing no one. I knew
yeah.
not one person in LA. I just came here and I sort of, you know, 20 years later, developed a lot of, acquired a lot of information that I can give to people. It's not going to take them 20 years.
Right.
Because in 20 years, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You're
save
too old.
Time.
And
yeah.
you got a face for radio. So you want to do it while you're young.
Yeah.
You know, and good. Youth really is, it's a very youth-driven business. So it is really important to get here as early as you can. A lot of these stars that you see now that are famous at 25, they were working when they were 12 and 13 years
right.
old.
Right. I think that's even the case for actors that make it in the 30s, 40s, even 50s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they obviously, it's not overnight.
No.
They've been doing this for a while,
a long
right?
time.
And we all think it's overnight because they suddenly appear out of nowhere.
Right.
You know.
Because we don't have a handle on them. But I always right. say, you know, Google people.
Yeah.
Google people. Like, figure out where they came from and where they studied and
right.
how long they were in the game. I mean, look at George Clooney, how many... You know, pilots he had that failed before he actually got ER. I mean,
right.
it takes what it takes.
It really does, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because everybody comes here to trying to do the same thing.
Right.
Everybody wants to make it. Everybody wants right. to become famous. And not everybody can do it, you know.
Well, I mean, not everybody so should do it.
Exactly.
Let's be honest. Not everybody yeah. should do it. You know, right. I have people send me tapes of themselves all the time. And they're like, you know, will you represent me? And I'm really honest. You know, I think a lot of managers and agents, you know, when they get material, they don't want to hurt the person's feelings. So they
right.
go, I'm not looking right now, or I'm full right now. I tell people, I go, you're not ready.
Yeah.
You're not ready for me to represent you. What
wow.
you just showed me, you can't win in the room.
Right.
You know, you're going in a room nowadays. It's so much different. I mean, you're competing in television against Halle Berry. Jada Pinkett Smith is on TV. I mean, you
yeah.
look, there's stars on TV. Lily
right.
Tomlin, Jane Fonda. You know, these are the people that are doing TV shows.
Right.
So you got to be really good.
Exactly.
And not that you can't get there, but you got to... do the work.
You got to do the work, and talent is not enough. You got to do the footwork as well, like
exactly.
You said. You know, you got to have people that can help you, like an agent like you, you know, where and people to manage your career and stuff. Because, yeah, I mean, when you're an artist, you don't know any of these things, you know.
No.
But without knowing them, you're probably going to fail.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, unless you really have the time to, you know, do the trial and error and learn.
Yeah.
And I think, too, like, I always say that this business draws in some of the laziest people in the world.
Yeah.
And yet what it takes to actually succeed in this business is you have to be one of the hardest workers
yeah.
in the world.
That's true.
It's harder, I think, than so many other things. You know, the
That's
rewards are great, but there's a lot of risk and there's a lot of, like, putting your life on hold.
That's mm-hmm. true. And rejection and so forth, you know.
People
you know.
Go, I had somebody say to me, well, I don't really like rejection. And go, well, why would you be
yeah,
an actor?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because that's the majority of your work is being rejected. Right.
You have to, and I tell the clients that I manage, is you have to learn to love rejection. Mm. You have to learn to love it and go, okay, what did I get from that? How can I grow from that? You know, let it push me forward, you know, because yeah. it's inevitable,
yeah.
you know? I mean,
exactly.
I haven't met one person yet that said, yeah, I walked into my first audition, booked it, that's it, I'm on a TV show, and it's just been win, win, win. Even yeah. if that did happen, chances are down the line there's going to be a no.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Someone's not going to like you.
Yeah, and it happens even to the biggest celebrities, you know, and that's because, and that's why people should keep this in mind. You know, when they reject you, it's not a personal rejection. It's just because it's like looking for an employee,
right.
you know. You need someone who's perfect for that role, for
that's
that
right.
position.
That's right.
You know, and it doesn't matter what a great actor you are.
That's right.
But if you don't have the look or you don't have the feel of what they're looking for, they're not going to take you, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point in casting someone who doesn't fit into the role?
No, and I hear it all the time. I mean, sometimes they're going ethnic for the role. Sometimes they don't want to go ethnic for the role. Sometimes the girl has blonde hair and so does the guy, and they don't want two blondes, so they're going to pick a brunette. I mean, you never know. It could
You're
be
right.
a bunch of different things. But I think what you do need to be able to do as an actor is go in and give the best performance that you can give. So when you leave the room, you know, I gave it my all.
Right.
I think the most disappointing thing is when you leave and go, I did not do a good job.
Yeah,
yeah, that's hard.
And probably really follow the specifications before you go to the audition.
Know everything.
Sure,
know yeah, everything. Know
to make
the
sure
show.
You fit
absolutely
into what they're looking for. You
absolutely,
know?
And know the show. I tell actors yeah. that too. You know, auditioning for, you know, one show could be different than auditioning for another show. You need to know the tone of the show.
Mm.
Know what they're doing.
Right.
I remember being in. It was a hosting audition, but in the final round, I'm short blonde. There was a tall blonde, medium-sized brunette, and an African-American.
Yeah.
And it's like, you guys obviously have some vision of what you want.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not, yes, we need to perform and do the best that we can do, but really it's down to what you guys are envisioning and mm-hmm. what you are wanting for this role.
Yeah, and sometimes they don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't know. They just yeah. bring everybody in, and it's...
It's
and
true, until you see someone and you go, that's the
that's
one.
That's the one, yeah. right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Just like hiring employees, I
Absolutely.
Think it's the same
and
way.
And just like
know?
How I pick clients, you know,
right.
I take people sometimes where, you know, they might not have a lot of credits or they might not have a great reel or, but I just see something. I just right. get a feeling. I took a kid from it. I say kid, everybody in their 20s is now a kid.
yeah.
That's how you know you're old, when you
yeah.
call 20-year-olds kids.
yeah.
They used to be people I would date, and now they're kids.
Right. I know. It's like I used to be the youngest in the room. What happened?
Right. But I found him in a showcase. He was a,
really?
Or it was just one of those things where managers come and they perform in front of you, and you watch them. And I just had a feeling. I was just,
wow.
you know, and I was with my partner at the time, and he was like, I don't know. You know, he was on the fence about, you know, taking people, you know, without credits, because it's hard to get them in the room. You have to work really, really hard.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to see them. They have,
right.
you know, 10 other people that they could see that have credits or whatever. So, but I believed in him, and he's killing it. He's killing it.
Really?
He's doing great, and he's booking,
oh, cool.
you know, his booking ratio is really high. Whatever he goes on, he seems to book. So,
wow.
Wow.
So how many people would you say you're managing right now?
I have 15 people
really?
that
wow,
I,
that's quite
that
a
I work
bit.
With. Yeah, I probably have like 20, over 20 something, but people that I really, you know, on a daily basis work
right.
with. Right. Yeah.
And are they like diversified? Different,
totally.
Different,
all over the map.
Yeah. So
yeah.
it's not like you have a certain kind that you're looking for.
No. I mean, yeah. there's, you know, obviously young and beautiful is the most in demand always. So that,
right.
you know, but I love character actors. So I have some great
really?
Character actors. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I like to take people that careers have stalled and try to restart them. It doesn't always work, but I like
yeah.
that feeling of like, oh, you weren't getting any auditions and now you're with me and you have 20.
Yeah. And it is amazing because you obviously have to work hard if you are to earn any income because, right. like you said, yeah. unless they get paid, you don't see any pennies.
No, it's nothing. Commission. It's a commission job. Yeah. It's like car sales.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
You don't
know.
Sell a car, you don't make any money that day.
I know. Yeah. And that's why, you know, I salute people that can get into that because it takes a lot of confidence in your ability to earn a living mm-hmm. doing something like that, you know, where yeah. you don't have the guaranteed paycheck and everything. No. You know?
But I find that for me, I think I'd be more complacent if I knew whether I get, you know, sales or don't get sales, I make right. the same amount. But I also like the no limit to my earning potential.
Yeah.
So that's what you give up. When you're on a salary job, you just sort of, it is what it is, you right. know. But when you know, okay, I've got to go in there and make this happen because who knows, you know.
Right.
Sky's the limit. I like that. That yeah. that drives me a little bit. But I am an incredibly hard worker. I need to,
yeah.
I don't know balance. I have to learn that a little bit. My husband literally pries the phone out of my hands.
Really?
He's like, it's 11 o'clock. Who are you texting? Yeah. But it's never, you know, it's not another guy. It's a client. I'm like, texting this client. I'm trying to get him in on this, you know. Uh-huh. So,
it's I fun. Know. That's the thing. When you work for yourself, you work around the clock, you know. There's yes. no like 9 to 5.
Well, you do it. You know, you got this radio station from the ground
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that. You know,
but you had a vision. You had a
yeah,
vision for what it could
be. But still
to
this day, I work very late every day, you know.
Because it never ends.
Yeah. You know, so you end up working for $1 an hour or something. Right. People don't realize that, you know.
Yeah.
They don't realize when you go into your business, at least the first couple of years, you're working for nothing.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
And because you got to do everything and all that stuff. But eventually, you want to get to a point where you don't have to. You know, but yeah, I mean, I'll be working and then suddenly it's like a Facebook, something comes up and it's like, okay, let's take a break.
Take a break.
Let's see what's going on Facebook.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I work from home, so there's I can do a lot, you know, yeah. and it's just like, I realize like one day I'm going to have somebody that can do all the other things. Cause it's like, I'll be, you know, working on the breakdowns and submitting clients and pitching a client and taking a deal. And then, you know, and then I take the dog for a walk and I come back and I do some dishes and I go back. It's like, you know, one day I'll have helpers that can do all yeah. the other stuff and I could just do one thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's how you grow a business, you know. But in the beginning, for everybody that wants to start a business, it's not, you know, it's not everything it's cracked up to be, especially not in the beginning. It's mm-hmm. not like about fun. It's about, I mean, obviously you enjoy yourself and everything, mm-hmm. but you know, you can't expect to make a lot of money in the beginning, you know. Yeah. And you virtually make nothing, you know, sometimes, like, because you put in so many hours, you make very little money, mm-hmm. and you go, wow, you know. But it's the passion, it's knowing that it's yours and that you're able to grow it and it's in your hands, you know.
And that's where I think clients, it's important for them to understand the business because, you know, I wish I would have known this information when I had a manager because I would have been a little yeah. more appreciative, you know what I mean, right. of what they were doing, you know. Yeah. But it's
very cool. Very
it's
cool.
interesting.
Well, so I'm really happy for you. I mean, you married, you've shown people that you don't have to be 20 years old to
That's
get married, right?
That's right. I got
and
married
sometimes
way
it
later.
Takes 3 times to find the right one.
That's right.
Right. And besides, you know, I say marriage doesn't have to be forever, you know?
That's
I mean,
right.
Be married for a while.
Yeah.
Have some kids, have a family. You get yeah. tired of them, get
That's
somebody
right.
new.
It's like a lease on a car every 4 years.
Exactly. I lease cars. So I can always drive
you know,
a new one.
You know that last year when you're driving the car and you're like, this is the last year I'm driving this car. And then you start looking at other cars. You're like, what is that? Is that a Lexus? I like a Lexus.
Yeah. And then let me try something
trade
new.
In.
That's awesome. Well, you're looking great. I mean,
thank you.
It's totally like, I can't tell how old she is. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not even taking a stab at it.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah. But the thing is that how do you keep yourself looking young and everything? I mean, people might want to know.
Some of it is good genes.
It is genes,
I have good
right?
genes. Yeah, it is genetic. Yeah. But I also am pretty healthy. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't, yeah. you know, I try to eat
good
healthy.
For you. Do you
I've
work out?
Always worked out.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not always. Since I was 25 was when I made the turn.
Oh,
before that, I always say I had my first glass of water at 25.
Really?
I never drank water.
Yeah.
Always drank soda.
Yeah.
Smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I was really like, you know, unhealthy.
Right.
And then at 25, I made the change and it shows up. You know, you get your blood work done. I got my blood work done this year and the doctor said, you must work out. I've never seen cholesterol that low at a
Whoa.
Woman your age. But
wow.
it does. You know, it matters.
Very cool.
You know,
yeah.
So.
I know. People think I'm in shape. I'm like, no, it's only on the outside, you know. I still drink sodas and I still smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you also have to enjoy your life and you have to, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Do what
you
makes
know.
You happy.
Yes,
yeah.
You have to balance. You have to have balance,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, I
and
guess.
And I think you got to be happy as a person. I think that keeps
no,
you young,
absolutely,
too.
You know, and whatever works for you, you know. I mean, if you wanted to take the chance that you'll die younger, you know, that's your decision.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Not every. So somebody said that to me, a girlfriend of mine. I was talking about, you know, I want to live a long time. It's just something I've always wanted to do. I want to experience it, see as far as I can take it. Plus, I have kids, so I want to be there for them and be healthy for them, my grandkids. And my friend said, yeah, I don't think I want to live that long.
Yeah, I know.
And I never
know
thought about that. That people are just like, she's like, yeah, I'm not that interested in 70. I just don't. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
And okay. Now 70 isn't that old.
No.
No, 70's not old at all.
My dad's 78. I mean, he still plays a saxophone on stage, just blows sax.
Really?
Just, yeah, very active.
How cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going back to see them for a week. I'll be back there for the New York premiere. We're doing a New York premiere of the movie and then an L.A. premiere.
Right.
Back
so,
to back.
So let's remind everybody about the movie. What's it called again?
It's called Once Upon a Time in Queens.
Okay.
And it's going to be at the Lemley Theater, which is on Thursday, September 25th at 7:30.
Is that Encino. At all the Lemleys? Oh, at the Encino,
in Encino
one.
In Encino. One. Yeah.
And then you're saying you're taking it back east too?
So yeah, back east would be the night before, Wednesday the 24th at 7:30 at the AMC, I think Lowe's 7, something like that.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's all on my web. It's
so
all on my
page. So you must be excited.
I'm very excited.
It's like your first film and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That you're starring and producing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of learning. And great performances. I mean, Paul Sorvino's amazing in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I mean, that must have been nice to be able to get an actor like that in your movie and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it was all Dave Rodriguez. He was he's a producer and the director of the film and the writer of the film. So he had this, you know, had this script and had these people interested in it way before I came on. But I saw it as a stage reading. My dad was in it. They did it like a stage reading of it, and I came to watch my dad, and I just thought the story was so interesting because it's basically like a post-mob film. It's like what happens when someone gets out of jail after being in jail for 20 years, you know, for being a mob.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was a very interesting story, and
Yeah. That's interesting, though. I mean, wow.
It's I love all the mob stuff, so I'd be really into
it. Oh, yeah. It's
I know. I'd love to see that. So, so what about people that don't live there? I mean, well, are you going to have it on
video? It's going to be released, 11/11. Right. So on November 11th, Lionsgate is releasing it on everything. I think, you know, DVD.
Very cool, Andrea. I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
I mean,
thank you.
Obviously did. You know, it's not like a small
I've come a long way from LA Talk Radio.
There you go.
Look at that. Start here, and then who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows where you can go?
Yeah. She was a co-host for about a minute and a half with me.
So, 2 minutes. Yeah. 2 minutes. Downtown.
But yeah, I mean, that was a long time ago. You're talking 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Downtown we were.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
we
I had downtown. A show here.
That's right.
Plugged in.
That's right.
With
James Mooney. That's right.
That was a fun
show. You still seeing him? I mean, I saw him.
Yeah. I saw him like a year ago. It's just so hard to see anybody anymore.
Yeah.
I don't really go anywhere. I don't go out.
Especially in LA because you have to drive 30 minutes to get there.
Yeah. If you want to see me, I'm in Burbank. Come visit. That's it. No, I don't, it's hard to stay in touch with people. You know, I love James and I mean, we see each other, we talk, but. We don't see each other physically.
Right, yeah. I mean, at the time, you guys were putting the show together and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
We were doing the radio show, and I had just wrapped Cabaret Idol.
Yeah, Cabaret thing, right. Yeah. That's right, Cabaret Idol. And that's what you guys were doing together. It sounded pretty interesting. You know?
Yeah, we had a good time. We had a really fun time on the radio. He used to crack me up because he would come in sometimes with this huge drink of caffeine, just like a huge... whatever, iced tears, and he would just, his personality would get amped.
Switch on.
Yeah. We had one guest, I was like, maybe you should let them say something. It was caffeinated.
Yeah, wow. Very cool. Well, Andrea Kelly, what is the name of your agency?
It's Unlimited Talent Management.
Unlimited Talent Management, and that's here in LA.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys live here or you plan to come here and have any kind of a career, Andrea is the person to go to.
Sure.
Right? Also, let's plug again the seminar you're going to have.
Yeah, it's called Hit Your Mark Studios on September 20th.
Seven.
Is that right?
Look at Saturday.
Saturday the 27th at the Victory Theater in Burbank, 2 to 5.
Sounds great. And
you
guys definitely don't want to miss that. Somebody's been trying to call here, but I don't have time for this. I don't like taking phone calls. You know,
you don't like taking phone calls.
No,
why?
They distract me. You know?
Really? Yeah. What if they have
and usually they're not interesting. You know?
Really? See, I love that. But, it's like doing crowd work when you're doing.
Yeah, no, I know. It depends. You know, it depends what you like. But I also think of the listeners and myself. And when I listen to shows where people call in, it's usually they take it into a different direction or just like, hello.
Well, now I feel bad because I tell people call in. And yeah. I go the call
no,
in
that's
number.
Okay. That's probably why.
That's probably why they're calling in. All right, people
for you.
Call me later at home.
Exactly.
I'll be home.
Listen
in Burbank.
To her. It's much more interesting to listen to Andrea. All
right. Thanks
well,
for having
Andrea,
me on.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Always a lot of fun. You're always welcome back.
Thank you.
And everybody go check it out. That's it, I guess, Charlotte, right?
Yeah.
That's it for today.
I guess so. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yes, bye.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.